The first reading today is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. That concludes the first reading.
Reading is from the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Every year, Jesus' parents traveled to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as they always did for the feast. And when it was over and they left for home, the child Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. And thinking he was somewhere in the company of pilgrims, they journeyed for a whole day and then began looking for him among relatives and neighbors. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. And the next day they found him in the temple, seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were all quite taken with him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. And his mother said, "Young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you." He said, "And why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here dealing with the things of my father?" But they had no idea what he was talking about. So he went back to Nazareth with them and lived obediently with them. And his mother held these things dearly, deep within herself. And Jesus matured, growing up in both body and spirit, blessed by both God and people. Here ends our reading. God has a message for us, and let us pray for openness of heart and attentive to our still speaking God. Thanksgiving 2011 is now over. That means that Christmas time is upon us. Bells are ringing and cash registers are singing. Some think that the holiday spirit originated from the birth of Christ. The contrary is true. December 25 used to be a pagan holiday long before Jesus was born. So the early Christians chose this pagan holiday to take advantage of the festivities. They did so in order to celebrate their faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, no one knows what exact day Jesus was born. However, in the year 350, Pope Julius I declared that Christ's birth would be celebrated on December 25. Now, obviously, he was trying to make it as painless as possible for pagan Romans, who remained a majority at that time, to convert to Christianity. The new religion went down a bit easier, knowing that their feasts would not disappear. Well, all this is not so very romantic, but at least it is historically the absolute truth. Once again, it is Advent and Christmas time. Memories of Christmases past abound, and I'm sure that all of you have at least given some thought this morning about Christmases in times gone by. And I know that we have many stories to tell about Christmas since we were young and throughout our lives. I can tell you that I have quite a few Christmas stories to tell, you can imagine. I particularly remember the very able and hard-working sexton that our church in downtown St. Petersburg had. Now, he kept that huge sanctuary, 1,400 seats, spotless clean. But I want to tell you something about him. He did not have a particular gift for reading or writing. So that church in St. Petersburg, it's still there, the huge mother church in the center of town, had a massive outside sign where we posted sermon titles for the next Sunday, and we did so in large letters. And that was one of our sexton's weekly tasks. So when Christmas time came around, I one day drove by the church, and I can tell you I came to a screeching halt in the busy road when I read his one-liner for the next Sunday. Joyful, joyful, we adore him, Reverend Fred Fourie. I jumped in, I said, take that down, the minister's name come at the bottom, not in that line. And on another occasion, same sexton, my sermon title was the same as the previous week. It was a continuation. So I simply left him a note, same as last week. So I drove by the church the following day and I read the sign stating, same as last week. Now, today's theme is searching for Jesus. And there's also a story about a church sign in a rural area advertising the sermon titles because they had two services every Sunday, one in the morning, one in the evening. Now, the one listed as first service said, Jesus walking on the water. And the second service, searching for Jesus. It's embarrassing to a family to misplace a child. And today's scripture reading tells that it actually happened to Mary and Joseph who had been at the Passover celebration in Jerusalem. And their 12-year-old son, Jesus, was with them. And they were part of a larger company of pilgrims traveling together. And they were a journey away from Jerusalem before they first realized that Jesus was not with them. They thought he had played with the other kids and he was following and he was somewhere in the crowd. And what a great anxiety. They immediately turned back to find out where Jesus was. So they actually went searching for Jesus. And I thought that was a very appropriate theme for us today. Searching for Jesus. Part of the Christmas story tells about wise men from the east that came in search of the newborn King of the Jews. In our time, we still see bumper stickers reading, wise men still seek him. Indeed, they do. The concept of seeking Jesus is certainly close to the heart of our Christian faith. We believe that in and through Jesus Christ, countless millions of people have found the way to the heart of God. And many of us here in church will not hesitate to say, to tell you, that our lives have changed dramatically and positively since the day when we first found and accepted Jesus Christ, decided to follow Him as our Christ, as our Savior. Now, we're living in changed times. Sadly, Jesus Christ as Savior seems to be still obviously missing in the lives of so many people calling themselves, yeah, even calling themselves Christians in our time. They belong to churches. They participate in the activities. They support every function. They carry the name. However, when it comes to demonstrating His presence in their faith and in their lives, there is no sign of Jesus. I believe that without faith anchored in God, there can only be emptiness where there should be meaning and purpose. While the cash registers are clinging, while people spend billions on Christmas gifts and feasts, the peace of Christ that we sang about when we lit the candle is still eluding many, many of those so frantically shopping in these days. We have discovered no credit card can ever fix the emptiness of a life without an anchor, a life without faith, a life without a rock to stand upon. And that brings the question, is in this year 2011, Christmas time, is Christ present in your life and in mine? And if we come to the discovery that somehow it's become just a story to me, I've moved away from the truths that I so believed as a child. Maybe some of us need to ask the question once again this year. Where shall I find Him? Where is Jesus to be found? What do you believe? Well, I think we will all agree that there is no specific place. Jesus is to be found everywhere. I've lately conducted several funerals. As you know, that's part of our life here in Cocoa Beach. And it was amazing when the question came out about the faith of the deceased. The witness that came out. Recently, one widow told me, he would never go to church. But I can tell you, he found Jesus one day on the beach, and he was true to what he believed. And I thought in my heart, what a pity that he didn't come to us to share the joy that we all are acquainted with, the joy of belonging to a family dedicated to our faith. Jesus is not only to be found in a church, it's to be found anywhere, everywhere, million places. Some people tell me that they found Him in the beauty of nature. But then some still say that they found Him in this building, in this church. Some have that witness, and we thank God for that. And only for as long as it continues to happen, that people's lives are touched and changed, we will be entitled to the title, a true church of Jesus Christ. According to many news reports, many young servicemen and women found Jesus not in America, but discovered him in the deserts of Iraq and Afghanistan. There's a saying, there are no atheists in foxholes. And military chaplains are reporting that many of the soldiers are indeed making decisions for Christ during times of crisis, while others are seeking spiritual guidance, many of them for the first time in their lives. Chaplains say they would come and say, teach me how to pray. Tell me about baptism. How do I make peace with God? How do I confess my sin to God? Is a question that many of them ask. Many say to the chaplains, I'm reading the Bible. I had one all my life. Mom gave me one. But I actually read it for the first time since I had an edition in my pocket. And the chaplain that told me much of this said, many report that soldiers are not only turning to their chaplains, it's being discussed in their smaller groups when they're with their buddies somewhere out on the battlefield. And then they begin to seek and select individuals who evidently knew Jesus, who understood something about Jesus, and sharing their innermost concerns about life, death, and the families that they left behind. Amazing to think that our soldiers, men and women, that we are part of their prayers, even when they're far away on a battlefield. We pray that their search, when they come back, would continue and come to fruition, even when they are in foxholes no more. Many people find God during times of uncertainty and great stress, great heartache, and great concern. And we can understand that people often turn their hearts to the one who can meet their deepest needs. Faith in God changes life for the better. The best time to turn to God is before crisis comes. While you still have your health, your talent, your ability, and the free will to make meaningful changes, to turn your personal darkness into light. I was charmed by a story about the discovery made by nurses in a nursery for infants. The caregivers often felt so helpless because they say that when one baby started crying, most of them would join in at the same time. And so the nurses found out that if they put a certain recording on and play it, it seems to have a soothing effect on the infants. And before long, they would stop crying. And that was a recording they made, the sound of a mother's heartbeat. Apparently, the infant has some memory of life before birth, and the calming, reassuring effect of that heartbeat brings peace into those newly born lives. May we sense the heartbeat of God, even this morning, as we sing, as we pray, as we listen. It's a very personal question. Are we playing religion? Or are we still searching for a Savior? Forgive me the very personal question. But is there someone here that has never found the peace that only God can give? Deciding to bring Christ into your life is also called the renewal of faith. Could make all the difference. We are now entering today another period of Advent, meaning that we are waiting and preparing to celebrate Christ's coming into this world. And He has promised that if with all our hearts we truly seek Him, we shall surely find Him. It's not my words, it's the words of Scripture. And we live in the assurance He is here, even today, waiting, available. Are you hearing your name? I was a kid, I know it, remember it so well. I was outside, in nature, beside a campfire, just evening devotions, and the quiet of the evening, I heard my name, not spoken by human lips. I knew. Are you still hearing your name when you exercise your faith? Oh, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I would rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Loving God, in this season of waiting and watching, we look to You and Your coming to us once again. You come in the sound of silence and in the laughter of friends. You come in the darkened night by bringing joy to a world without expectation. So often we feel burdened down with our own sorrows and preoccupations, and we miss Your coming. Therefore, we now pray that You would break into our confusion and illumine our way. We pray this morning for those who struggle with illness, for those who are grieving, for those who are facing difficult decisions, and we ask that You might touch the lives of those we name in our heart and renewed faith and hope. We pray for the poor and the oppressed, for the unemployed and the homeless, and for all who remember and care for them. We pray for peace in the world and for the unity of all Your people. And now we pray for ourselves, for the forgiveness of our shortcomings, and for the grace of the Holy Spirit to make changes in our lives where needed. Help us to realize that in Your light we are all connected to one another. Help us to use that light to guide others and keep them from danger. Keep us from growing weary of waiting for Your love and light, lest we miss Your coming into our lives and into our world. We pray on this first Sunday of Advent, we pray in Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Come, O come, Emmanuel. Amen.